A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brothers and sisters, be subordinate to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives should be subordinate to their husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of his wife, just as Christ is head of the church, he himself the Savior of the body. As the church is subordinate to Christ, so wives should be subordinate to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and handed himself over for her to sanctify her, cleansing her by the bath of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. So also husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one hates his own flesh, but rather nourishes and cherishes it, even as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak in reverence to Christ and the church. In any case, each one of you should love his wife as himself, and the wife should respect her husband. The word of the Lord. Blessed are those who fear the Lord. Blessed are you who fear the Lord, who walk in his ways. For you shall eat the fruit of your handiwork. Blessed shall you be and favored. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the recesses of your home, your children like olive plants around your table. Behold, thus is the man blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritum tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Lucam.
Gloria tibi Domine.
Jesus said, "What is the kingdom of God like? To what can I compare it? It is like a mustard seed that a man took and planted in the garden. When it was fully grown, it became a large bush, and the birds of the sky dwelt in its branches." Again he said, "To what shall I compare the kingdom of God? It is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of wheat flour until the whole batch of dough was leavened."
Verbum Domini.
In the gospel reading today, Jesus gives two analogies or parables to describe what the kingdom of God is like. One involves a man and the other a woman. And this is a common literary device found throughout the Gospel of Luke, highlighting the fact that the Lord has come for the salvation of all people, both men and women alike, as each are created in the image and likeness of God. What is interesting about these comparisons is their ordinariness. In fact, one might say that these analogies are not interesting for all for that reason. The casual listener might hear this comparison of the kingdom to a mustard seed planted in the ground or to yeast being mixed in with 3 measures of flour and remain unimpressed. What is so special about these comparisons? Perhaps their uniqueness can be found precisely in their ordinariness. It might help to see the point more clearly if we consider the way in which some of the ancient worldly kingdoms were established and compare them to our Lord's description of the growth of the kingdom of heaven. In the Old Testament, the kingdom of Israel was established through the bloody conquest of the Canaanites, who had been occupying the promised land. Later, after the death of King Solomon, some of the people in the kingdom of Israel revolted against the king, which resulted in the split of the kingdom into the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. The two kingdoms continued to have a rocky relationship with one another until they were both conquered by foreign nations. The Assyrian Empire expanded into the territory of Israel through violent conquest, and then the Babylonians extended their empire by defeating the kingdom of Judah and the Assyrians. And then closer to the time of Christ, the Roman Empire conquered Israel through a violent military assault. If we were to formulate an analogy or a comparison to describe the growth of all these kingdoms established throughout ancient history, the image of a mustard seed or of yeast mixed into 3 measures of wheat flour would probably be the last thing on our minds. We might think of a more violent image, such as a blacksmith hammering molten metal against an anvil, or a butcher slaughtering a bunch of animals. And yet our Lord's description of the growth of the kingdom of God is quite unlike any of these other kingdoms. There is no violence involved in a man planting a mustard seed in the ground, other than the seed itself dying and becoming a much larger plant. There is no violence involved in a woman mixing yeast into 3 measures of flour, except when the yeast itself dies as it is baked, thus enabling the dough to rise. These comparisons are rather peaceful images, especially when contrasted with the savage way that prior worldly kingdoms rose to power. We can recall what Jesus says to Pontius Pilate during his trial: "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting, that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world." The kingdom of God is clearly distinct from any other kingdom that has come before. Whereas earthly kingdoms come and go, and they rise and fall, the kingdom of God grows and rises very slowly over time. It is not a kingdom that is established through violent conflict or the shedding of the blood of one's enemies, but by the death of the seed or the yeast itself. Jesus Christ is a king who has not come to conquer human forces by waging war against them. Rather, he has come to give his own life and to shed his own blood as a sacrificial offering for the sake of his friends and even his enemies. As St. Paul teaches in his letter to the Romans, "But God shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life." The kingdom of God grows through love and not through coercion or the waging of war. And these images of the mustard seed and the yeast thus teach us about the need for hope and perseverance. If we truly have faith in the teaching of Jesus, then we ought to trust what he says, especially when he compares God's kingdom to a mustard seed. A mustard seed begins as something very small when it is planted in the ground, and it requires an extended time to fully grow. The man who plants the seed is involved in the initial work, but once the seed is planted, he can only wait for the seed to do the rest and to grow to full size, which requires the virtues of patience and hope. The woman who mixes the yeast into the wheat flour must work to ensure that the yeast is completely mixed in. And once her work is finished, she must also wait for the yeast to take effect and to enable the dough to rise, which requires patience and hope. And thus, growth in the kingdom of God requires us to wait upon the Lord in hope and to trust that the Lord is enabling the growth of the kingdom even when it is difficult for us to see it. And these comparisons are a good reminder that while we are called to participate in the work of sowing the seed and mixing in the yeast, we are utterly incapable of coercing the seed to grow or causing the yeast to enable the dough to rise. In fact, if we try too hard to force the kingdom to grow or to coerce people into accepting the faith, we may find ourselves causing greater damage to the work of evangelization than helping it. The Catechism teaches this explicitly in paragraph 160. To be human, man's response to God by faith must be free, and therefore nobody is to be forced to embrace the faith against his will. The act of faith is of its very nature a free act. God calls men to serve him in spirit and in truth. Consequently, they are bound to him in conscience, but not coerced. And this fact received its fullest manifestation in Christ Jesus. Indeed, Christ invited people to faith and conversion, but never coerced them. He bore witness to the truth, but refused to use force to impose it on those who spoke against it. His kingdom grows by the love with which Christ, lifted up on the cross, draws men to himself. So we cannot force the seed to grow. But once we have done our part in a spirit of peace and love, we must trust in the Lord to provide the growth. As St. Paul teaches in his first letter to the Corinthians, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God gives the growth. And the continual growth of the kingdom of God is nourished by our prayers, by our good example. It is especially urgent in this time to pray for the coming of God's kingdom, when there is so much war, violence, anger, fear, and hatred around the world. So many people need to hear the peaceful, loving message of the gospel, that Christ has come to save us all from our sin and unite us, all men and women, as brothers and sisters, into one body, the church. There is no longer any need for war, violence, and hatred, because the Lord has redeemed us from this fallen state. We need the seed of the kingdom to grow within each one of us, so that we might be channels of the Lord's peace in the world. And there's a hymn in the American Breviary that is appropriate for today's message, and I'll conclude with the first verse. For the fruits of his creation, thanks be to God. For the gifts to every nation, thanks be to God. For the plowing, sowing, reaping, silent growth while men are sleeping, future needs in earth's safekeeping, thanks be to God.